Welcome, gamers, to episode 42 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, the podcast that's next-gen and socially networked. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
We are collectively the Nerdstravaganza crew. We've got a next-gen topic in mind for you this evening. Specifically, we're going to talk about our relative levels of excitement, for the PlayStation 4. Before we get to that, we should get you excited by letting you know what's been going on in our interesting lives with our Geekly Weekly Roundup. Let me mix the batting order up and go with Brian first.
I actually had a pretty busy week. I'm pretty excited about this. If anybody is on the group or the page, they've already seen it, but I got the most kick-ass carrying case for the Star Wars miniatures. A friend of mine, April, who is around, we've mentioned her, and she's contributed to the site, is an artist, and it's awesome. It's got TIE fighters all over it. It's got character bios for characters that are actually in the game, which is totally lucky because she had no idea who was in the game. Badass, nice and sturdy, fits everything I can imagine. It's got room for my Millennium Falcon, room for expansion ships. I'm thrilled to death with it. That made my Geekly week, and there was more. I went to Ape Friday night, saw pinball games I've never even heard of. Pinball games about airplanes, when airplanes were really that exciting enough to have their own game. Not like, ooh, fly or anything like that. Like, pack your bags and go through checkout and get on a plane and let the pilot fly was exciting enough for its own game at one time.
It's back when flying was hip.
My favorite arcade game of all time was actually there, and you've probably never even heard of it. Halley's Comet?
I have heard it. I actually played it.
I went weak in the knees when that was there. I was like, oh my god.
Nice.
And then spent like 3 hours at it. I also met, did you see that like vector graphics game called Warrior?
Yep, I actually remember that one from back in the Bowling Alley days too.
I don't remember that one, but I was walking by and I was kind of like, what the hell is this? And there was this little like 7-year-old kid trying to play, but it was set for 2 players. And he was just like, can you play with me? With his like puppy dog eyes. So I played Warrior, and I'm kind of embarrassed because the kid legitimately kicked my ass. Like, I wasn't letting him win because I'm such a nice guy or anything like that. He very good at Warrior, apparently.
For those who don't know, that's a vector graphic, top-down, looking at guys with swords that are fighting each other. It's pretty cool.
And the thing I love this about the old games like that, it was projected graphics on a background. But the background affected the game. There was like a staircase that you could walk up and you could fall off the staircase and die. But the staircase wasn't graphics. It was just like a cutout on the background.
Yeah,
love that.
They had a bunch of cool, weird tricks back in the day like that.
The other one, I think it was it Space Duel or was it Asteroids Extreme or whatever? With the, it's projected on top of like actual layered
Asteroids Deluxe.
That's Asteroids Deluxe?
Yeah.
Those graphics are so badass.
Yeah, I played the shit out of that one.
Yeah, I played that one a lot when I was there too. But I had a good Friday. That was awesome. I spent a lot of my week on Xbox playing Arcade Craft, partially inspired by your recommendation of it, but also partially inspired by Ape, because I really missed that cacophony of the music and the pinballs and the people, and Arcade Craft really captures that really well.
Agreed.
And I finished The Name of the Wind, which, I recommend. Very, very good book. But it's part one of, and now I have to track down the rest.
Sounds cool, man. So it sounds like you had a full week. I will say that I was too intimidated to play the Arcade Craft game because it just sounded like kind of a stress out based on Rick's really passionate.
I'm totally getting my ass kicked at it. I can't make a popular arcade to save my ass, but I'm having fun.
That might crush me in more ways than I could take. But I know it wouldn't crush Rick. He's indomitable of spirit. And that being the case, I'm sure he has a great weekly update for us.
Well, I too spent many an hour playing stupid Arcade Craft. And the best I've been able to do is have my doors shut and I'm only $7,000 in the hole. So after hours and hours and hours of playing this damn game, which it is fucking hard. I don't know why it's so hard to make a good game. I mean, a good arcade. I've done everything from buying one machine and like just upgrading little by little and trying to stay afloat to blowing my entire wad as soon as the game starts and trying to keep afloat. It's just ridiculous. And the best I've been able to do is be in the hole like $7,600.
I haven't felt as heartbroken in a video game as when the little Japanese guys come by and like offer to sell you the game, like the random event, and you don't have enough money.
Yeah.
That.
I've saved the money and bought that game, and it's worth it. Because you get a game that's not like out by the regular manufacturers, so it gives you some good street cred. But it's sad. And then when somebody wants to buy a game, and I'm like, well, it's almost classic. I don't want to sell it to you yet, but I need the money.
I haven't got that far, jeez.
So I've been playing a lot of that. I also went to Florida Ape, which is the Arcade Pinball Exposition, I believe is what it stands for. And or it could be Extravaganza, for all I know. I went on Saturday, and I had a pretty good time. I was a little upset to see that the game list was different than what was posted on the website, mainly because one of my all-time, probably my all-time favorite pinball machine, Xenon, was once again supposed to make a glorious debut at the Ape and again failed to do so. The Doctor Who pinball machine was on the list. It didn't make it. That was one that was like my all-time fave. Best in show last year for me. But there was a couple of new machines that I haven't played. One was called Junkyard. It was really cool. And they had this awesome deal in the middle. It was almost like a wrecking ball. So it was like a pinball hanging from a chain. And it was kind of magnetically controlled to hold it still. But at certain times in the game, you could whack it with your ball, and it would swing around and hit all these targets and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. Definitely a cool dynamic that I haven't seen in any other pinball game. And then there was an absolute gem that I played. This was the single weirdest fucking pinball machine, if not one of the weirdest just games in general, that I have ever seen. It was a pinball table, game, machine, however you want to call it. And the title was Orbiter 1. And the play field looked like an asteroid, or, you know, like a lunar surface kind of thing. And it was pretty much barren. It had two bumpers in the middle, or on the game field, and then a couple of targets here and there. And when you played this game, the ball moves around on the play field like it's in zero gravity. Like, I don't mean vertically up and down zero gravity. I don't know, man. It moves in the most psychotic way you've never seen a pinball move around on a table. And upon closer inspection, I realized that the bumpers actually don't just work as bumpers. They were spinners. So one would spin clockwise, the other one would spin counterclockwise. And they would put a funky spin on your ball when it would get near them. And then also the bottom playing field was molded to have dips and valleys and hills and stuff like that in it. So you get this really funky movement that really feels like you're playing pinball in space, and it was badass. Simply the weirdest thing. I've seen gameplay video, and I'll post it in the show notes, because this shit was crazy weird, dude. It was awesome. Did either of you guys get to play that one?
I was broken when I was there.
Oh! Ditto. I was really bummed about not being able to play that.
Dude, it made up for everything else. That the show was a lot smaller this year, so I'm not gonna say it sucked, because it didn't suck, but you know, you always want the show to be bigger than it was, not smaller than it was. So that was a little disappointing, but this definitely made up for it. That was my highlight of the show, was playing that. And as far as video games go that were there, bunch of killer classics. Last year they had a bunch of them, but they were all in multicade cabinets, which I like being able to go in and play whatever game you want. But I really gotta say, there's something about the purity of playing a dedicated game in its designatedly designed original cabinet. There's just nothing like it. I don't know if it's the snobby purist in me, or if there legitimately is something different about it. But I will say, Kimberly had a way better time playing on the real machines than she did the multicade machines last year, so maybe it's not just my snobbery. Thoughts?
I've never liked multicade for some reason. And I've never really thought about it, but that could be it. Just a purist.
Yeah, there's a Multicade at a local venue down here, for example, that, and I think they featured it at Ape at least once, that has a bunch of games on it, one of which is Crystal Castles, which is one of my favorite games. And it's just not the same as playing a dedicated machine. And I couldn't give you any scientific reason why that is.
I think you can get away with it with some machines, like, you know, playing Miss Pac-Man and Pac-Man and Ladybug and some, you know, certain ones I think will fit in the same style cabinet and you're not going to notice much difference. But there's some that just really stand out and feel different to me. So it was fun to be able to play a lot of the old games in their original cabinets. And I came across a game that A, I've never heard of, and B, I've never seen, and C, I've never played. And it was called Balloon Bomber. And it was actually, there was a Space Invaders sit-down cocktail, and these little kids walked by and they unplugged it. So when I plugged it back in, I saw that this particular game had a bunch of different, I don't know how to pronounce it, whatever. They had a bunch of their games in this machine. So I started cycling through the menu and going through a bunch of different stuff, and I came across this Balloon Bomber. And it's, you control a shooter that moves left and right across the bottom of the screen. It shoots balloons that have like World War II like air bombs, like from a B-52 bomber style bombs, tied to the string, and they drop the bombs. Or if you shoot them, they'll drop a bomb. But if you shoot the bomb, it blows up the bomb and the balloon. But it has these balloons that drop the bombs at you, and if the bomb misses you, it makes a crater in the ground, but then you can't move past that crater. So you can get trapped in this game in like the tiniest little spot where you can't even move left and right anymore, and you just get bombarded. It was badass. It was me and Dregs played it for a good 45 minutes. It was pretty badass. I mean, probably the hardest, craziest, most cutthroat game I've ever played, especially for being a game from like 1980. It was awesome. Balloon Bomber. And that was it. That's all I did this week. I didn't really arcade craft and ape, not much else.
Pretty full week. Wish I could say I had the same. And I can. This week was more, I won't go over the same games I've been blowing my way through, because I just don't seem to get them done. But I've been playing the same console video games, with the addition of not Arcade Craft, but the, help me with the name, the one where you can visit your buddies' arcades. It's a downloadable game for Xbox Live.
Game Room.
Yeah, Game Room, where I went to Rick's arcade and hung out briefly. It's cool. I'd like to get more into it, but I'm not. Do I need to basically spend some Xbox Live points to get some arcade machines? Is that what I need to do?
Yeah, what you do in that game is you can go around and use tokens, like in your own arcade. You can spend your tokens, right, to basically play demo versions of the game. And then if you like the game, you can spend real Microsoft points and you buy that cabinet. And then you could put as many copies of that cabinet for no extra charge all over your arcade.
Okay. That makes more sense.
But when you visit, when you visit my arcade, I'll get extra tokens that I can use to either play one-off games or, test out some demos for other games I want to add to my arcade.
Interesting. I'd like to explore it some more. I admit I only popped in briefly and didn't do very well at the... What game was it that I played in your arcade?
You either played Mega Mania, which is an old Atari 2600 game, or you played Atari Bowling.
It was Mega Mania, because I had that game for the 2600, and all the nightmares of fighting what looked like various types of cookies and snacks came rushing back.
I love that game, man. I'm a megamaniac. I'm a megalomaniac.
I got really good at that game. Like, I remember advancing to really high levels, and as I was playing it, I couldn't figure out how I... As a kid, I was ever able to do so well, but I actually got quite good at that.
Nice.
So that's a cool game. That's a cool game. Yeah, apart from that, my usual gaming stuff, and went to the Arcade Pinball Expo, which was a bit smaller, but definitely more puh than A, meaning a lot more pinball, a lot fewer arcade games than there were in the previous years, but I still had a great time. I just made it a point of playing every arcade game or every pinball game in there at least twice. I just made the whole circuit. And it was really cool. They had the Jurassic Park one that I like, because the dinosaur eats your ball. I'm easily amused. And the Star Wars one where it has a little R2 droid in the corner and there's some Death Star blowing up antics. I enjoy that one as well. And a bunch of really cool classic arcade games, or I should say pinball games, going all the way back to like probably when our parents were kids. And Pinbot and Bride of Pinbot. Bride of Pinbot was set to such a high volume that it like blew you away from the machine when you played it.
Yeah, so was the Indiana Jones. I sadly didn't get to play Bride of Pinbot because it was broken.
Probably from me. I actually got on a really... I'm lousy at pinball for the most part, but I got a really good roll on that machine. So I might have worn the poor girl out before you got there.
You killed my gynoid!
Exactly. But had a good time. It's always fun to hit up the Ape and any kind of arcade event. And I also made use of my season pass to the Renfest again. Went back on a very hot 80-something degree, not enough clouds in the sky, Florida day, which takes away from the Renaissance feel just a little bit. But still had a good time.
Wasn't it hot in the olden days?
I want to say no. You know, in Europe?
No Florida in the Middle Ages, so there's no... I don't know.
No Middle Ages in Florida, right. No, I had a good time. I just kind of, you know, hung out and went around and saw a couple of the shows that I hadn't seen. Got to see the what is he, a falconer or a hawker or whatever you call the guy who has the birds. I love that show, and I was able to watch that. So, good full week for me.
I just realized I missed the Limey Birds.
Oh, were they performing that week?
Yeah.
Well, it's not like we won't be back and you can't see other things.
I'm going this weekend for steampunk.
That's what I'm saying. So the Limey Birds only perform once, but you can see other cool attractions, like the steampunk deep birds or whoever shows up. Funny thing is, Brian, I thought I saw them walking around, and I was like, hey, they look familiar. And it was them. Oh, well. Sorry, man. Water under the bridge. Look, we look forward to the future here at the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, except when we're at the Renfest, and we don't dwell on the past. Which is why, as we conclude our weekly geekly roundups, we proceed to the topic at hand, which is the PlayStation 4, the future, gaming's future, presented by Sony to an eager public, among which we count ourselves to varying degrees, I'm sure.
And for our international audience, that's PS4.
Yes, PS4, or however it is you say 4 in your...
Quattro.
Is it Quattro? Is it universally Quattro? Are we the only people that say 4?
No, but whatever. We're in Florida, so if you don't speak English, speak Spanish, so there you go.
That's true.
Spanish is international enough for us.
Right.
Yeah. Look, we got two bases covered. What else do you guys want? So yeah, the PlayStation 4. Big announcement that Sony held a special event and unveiled elements of the system, if not the system itself. And we thought we'd make this episode about our initial impressions. Brian, you have definitely absorbed more information about this topic than any of us, so I think we're going to rely somewhat heavily on you to offer unbiased opinions on the PlayStation 4. I hope you don't mind.
And I'm going to state right now that I'm here purely for color commentary.
Yeah,
I wasn't very excited about it, and the closer it got, the more and more excited I got. I actually liken this to episode 1. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to stay in the hot sun. You guys made me go. And I was just totally unexcited about it. But when I sat down in that theater and the scroll started, I wasn't even reading the gibberish scroll. I was just like trying not to crap myself. Like, this is Star Wars. It's going to be so cool. And then the movie started. Mm. Kind of how I felt about the reveal of PlayStation 4. I got really excited when I was like, this is a new system. And then they announced the share button and didn't show the system and didn't mention what media it was going to be and didn't show any games I'm even remotely interested in and showed year-old footage from Square Enix.
So as somebody who could reasonably be characterized as a potential early adopter of a system, based on what I know about you, you would say that you were not sold.
I'm waiting for E3. They didn't do a good job with me.
Let's jump to the other end of the spectrum then. Rick, I would consider you to be a late adopter of systems. We had to convince you for a while to finally take the plunge on the 360.
I know, I haven't even had a 360 for 2 years.
Right.
Less than 2 years.
I take it, based on your disclaimer that you were sort of in this for color commentary, that they have not drawn you in and made you eager.
I don't know, I just... To me, I was a PlayStation fanboy, to say the least. I mean, I loved my PS1. Took me a while to get a PS2, but once I got it, I was as hooked as I was as on the PS1. PS3 came, and I was done. I stopped playing consoles. I did not like it. I didn't like the way the graphics looked. I didn't like anything about it. I didn't like that it didn't have DualShock anymore for a while there, and whatever. So I have basically, since back then, not really been paying attention. I did find myself clicking on some links and investigating a little bit solely because of the Facebook group. There's a guy on there, Aaron, who seems to be pretty hardcore into the PlayStation. We were going to have him on the show tonight, but technical difficulties thwarted that idea. But so shout out to him for all the updates.
Hi, Aaron.
And all the help with getting me interested in the PS4. But yeah, I just, I don't know. I tried watching some of the press release video that was out. They did spark some interest with me once I saw that they were trying to call it the Creative Console.
Hmm.
Which was my, you know, long-winded ramp up to that. So that, I am a little bit, unlike Brian, who was excited then let down, I've actually gained momentum in my excitement. At least interest, we'll put it that way.
Creative Console.
Yeah, and they were showing like how you can do this 3D modeling like on the fly. It's a lot like this program called Sculptress. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. But apparently you can like draw these like cool 3D sculptures, and then you're going to be able to put them in games. And if they're going to do a bunch of focus on doing a bunch of stuff like that, I have to say that I will be interested.
Interesting. So you'll sculpt with the PlayStation Move wand or something, or the
yeah.
Harry Potter book or something?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's interesting. Of all things to hook you in, they rang your bell, or rung your bell, whatever the proper past tense is, with that.
Ring it.
Well, it's like, it's like 21st century click and play. So if that's the road they're heading down, I'm on board.
Launch titles? There are no launch titles. You make the launch titles with your imagination.
Now, if they go that far, if they go that far, I will lose my interest.
Right. I don't want to do like actual work. I'll put stuff in the game.
Right.
But yeah, let's not take this too far. I'll like add my own creature to Skylanders or whatever, but that's as far as I'll take it.
Exactly.
I gotta say, I bought the Wii U, so that should tell you where I stand. I'm gonna have this system one way or the other. I could just leave it at that.
I'm not sure that's a rousing endorsement.
They pretty much got me. I mean, they could put out a rotisserie with the PlayStation 4 logo on it. I'd probably buy it. But that's me. I'm like a diehard early adopter gaming geek. And if they really let me down, who knows? This might be the last generation. If they just really let me down, like Nintendo has really tried hard to do, maybe this will be it for me. But for right now, they'll probably get my money.
Well, I've seen a bunch of links that kind of show that it's really just a PC. They kind of all are just a PC anyway. But I don't know. Do you guys have any further input on that?
I kind of think that's what I don't like about it. I've always resisted the idea of a set-top box, and I've kind of given up resisting that because it just looks like the way things are going. But I'm not a PC gamer for a reason. I mean, sure, I'll play a game on a PC when that's an exclusive, but I like the console. I like the, you need this console for this game, this console does this better. I liked all of the variety and personality consoles used to have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that they're all just a console with no exclusives that plays all the same apps. And
I agree, man, because that's why I, back in the day, would have multiple systems, because you kind of fell in love with not just the system, but the you know, like the tie-in icon characters that would go with it. You know what I mean? The actual wording for that is escaping me right now. But, you know,
mascots?
Yes, like the mascots and stuff. Like, you would, playing Crash Bandicoot, you had a system for that. You want to play Mario, you had a system for that. I mean, that still exists a little bit, but it was beyond just the mascots. It was also the specific titles that went, you know, you can't get this game on another system, and I like that. But systems also used to be way cheaper. Maybe that's why it's not like that anymore.
If you cut out all of the social networking and everything like that, they might be cheaper.
Yeah, but could you... The thing, and this is totally off topic, but I think the thing I dislike about gaming the most is how it's become more of a first-person shooter fest. And with that being the case, why do we need a share button? See how I brought it back?
Kill cams.
Yeah, I like what you guys are saying. The sort of personality of the systems has changed a lot. There are still some exclusive IPs per system.
Mm-hmm.
But now, really, the only for these cross-plat games, if it weren't for the fact that they played different media, you know, that the discs were incompatible, like you could just release
a
disc for your, you know, Xbox 720 and PS4. Yeah, I agree that the differentiation between the systems is games don't have a unique sort of aura or a flavor to them. Yeah, what Brian said. You don't know necessarily if you just gave me a black box and said, "Hey," and you know the controller were generic. What system are you playing this on? I might not be able to tell.
Right.
And so
I would bet the 16-bit era, even the same title, you would be able to say, "No, this is the Genesis version." This is
instantly
for like 90% of the game.
Just the way the sprites looked and the way the music sounded, it was completely different. But we'll see.
It's interesting that we don't see them focusing on
games.
No, because we're kind of getting way off topic here. But to bring it back in, like, what are they doing in the next gen to focus in on making a system different than another system?
They're trying to outdo each other at the same game. I'm glad you agree. Our set-top box does Facebook and sharing with your friends and social networking better than theirs. And it has all the same games, plus a couple of that theirs doesn't. There you go. That's our sales pitch. And I don't know if I necessarily... This is sight unseen. This is based just on what we know of a share button, as Brian has pointed out, being present on the PS4's controller.
But I think it's more so that it's being made a big deal of. It's not just that it's there. It's that, like you just said, it's a selling point. And I think this is kind of why most of us just aren't really interested in what they're offering next generation, because really all they're doing is giving me the same crap I've already got in another way. I'm not getting anything new. I'm getting the same stuff delivered in a different way. So what about your system is important? For you to come straight out of the box and show me a fucking share button? I have a share button on my menu in my Xbox, so who cares?
I think that they're trying to... I think everybody's been trying to recapture sort of the magic of the Nintendo Wii, and that they're trying to position these new systems as something that appeals to non-gamers. They're trying to bring in, like, expand the market, right?
Yep. I agree.
And I gotta be honest, I got a PC. I mean, I got 15 ways to watch Netflix. I can go on Facebook on any number of devices. I want to buy a gaming console to play games, but I guess we're a shrinking minority, and they're just trying to get in like the moms who want to, I don't want to say moms, I don't know, the non-gamers, like what are they going to do? What do they want people to do with these consoles?
I don't know, because all those people are already locked into their tablets and play tablet games. They don't give a shit.
Right. I mean, unless, what are you going to put a big touchscreen on my TV to get smudged up so I can, you know, play Star Wars Angry Birds on it or something? Or, you know, I don't get... Who are they trying to please here? Or are they just trying to define a new audience?
I don't know. I think they're trying to please too many people, and therefore their core is getting left out.
Or maybe, you know, they don't consider gamers the core. Maybe Brian can shed a little light on this. Brian, one of the first things you pointed out when we discussed this pre-show was the share button on the controller. What does that say to you about who Sony's trying to cater to here?
I guess gaming got more popular in the last 10 years or something, but gamers are still pretty much a niche crowd. So however healthy the gamer market might be, it's still a tiny fraction of people who watch movies, people who watch television, people who watch, you know, cable. It's television, but I think in trying to survive as a market, it makes sense to go after, why are we only going after a couple of people when we could go after millions and millions? But there's no game in it anymore. So the people with billions of options, the people who are used to buying VCRs or Blu-ray players, they don't know what a set-top box is. They don't have that concept. Hmm. And we do, and it's kind of a turnoff to us. So I guess I get why a company wants to expand their market, but I don't think it works very well for a niche market. Can you imagine, like, Marvel just deciding to release, you know, leather-bound hardcovers of every issue? And why aren't these selling?
That is a good analogy, I think. I'll compare it to the experience of owning a Wii U so far. One of Nintendo's huge announcements was, like, the TV with two eyes thing feature, which basically lets you use your tablet as like an all-in-one remote. You can supposedly get your programming guides, and you can tie it into YouTube. You can tie it into Hulu and all these online services. So any programming you want to look up, you can just look it up on the tablet.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a neat gadget at first, but I just use my TV remote when I want to watch TV, and it didn't sell it to me. And I think they want the console to be the center of your entertainment life, but they haven't given me a reason why I should value that over it being the center of my gaming life, which is why I'm buying a video game machine.
I mean, I don't know, man. I think I definitely see the appeal. If I was like 16 or 17, still living at home and my whole life basically was in my bedroom of my parents' house, then that thing's like the gateway to the fucking universe, man. Because you've got your computer on it, you've got your games on it, you've got your videos on it, you've got your chatting. I mean, you got everything on there. But since that's not the case for me, I kind of like, sell me on the game system.
I'd really like to point out that their PowerPoint presentation for the new and exciting console aimed at players, and it had buzzwords, and they had a strategy that they were trying to explain through these buzzwords, and their buzzwords were simple, immediate, social, integrated, and personalized.
Sounds like tablet.
But nothing even applicable to a fucking game.
Yeah.
Ugh. So we think that they're trying to water the gaming console experience down in the same way Apple and others have watered the PC down in order to provide the tablet. They're providing something like I think Rick said at the beginning, something analogous to the tablet, but in gaming form. Watered down, accessible. You don't have to be some kind of a geek to play this. Look, you can play Words with Friends right on your TV or something horrible like that.
Right.
Ugh. Yuck.
All right, so what about the... There is something good that I heard about, and that was that the PS4 is going to allow used games, so that's a definite plus.
Yeah, that puts to rest one of the really horrible rumors, at least for the PlayStation, about them trying to kill off the used game market, which would only further alienate gamers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it kind of makes me think there's no way in hell the next-gen Xbox is gonna not let used games go if Sony is letting used games go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they would definitely be ceding a large share of the market.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you what, right now, no matter how much I would rather have an Xbox, if it came down to I can play used games or I can't play used games, I'm getting a PS4. There's just no fucking doubt about it. Because I play games way too late, way too infrequently, and it takes me forever to finish anything. So I'm not the person that's waiting in line spending $60 on a game the day it comes out. I'm the guy who's picking it up 6 months later for $9 used.
Right, right.
And that would definitely be something that puts me in their camp. So, and I really don't think I'm the only person. So there's no way that Xbox can follow through with that, not allowing used games, if Sony isn't going to do it as well. It's going to have to be an industry shift or something that's not going to happen at all.
I'd kind of like to point out, though, that the nicest thing we can think about to say about the system is something that's been a given for 30 years.
Well, I think
they
we can
didn't
say...
fuck us. Yay!
I'm hoping we can say some nice things about the system as well, because of the actual game footage or demo footage that they showed, there was some pretty stuff. There was some kind of a driving piece of demo footage, you know, racing game that looked really awesome. There was some Killzone footage that looked really, really good. I think we are going to see another jump forward in terms of graphics capability. It's open to speculation how much of a jump forward we are being robbed of because half of the... system's power is going into social networking, but I still say it's a noticeable improvement over this gen. Do you guys concur, or do you think were you not wowed by what you saw in the way of graphics capabilities?
I don't think I'm going to be wowed again until we get holodecks.
Mm.
It is better. It's clearly better. I don't think anyone can say it's not, but I don't know. We're just at that good enough spot. Like, I don't think I'm going to... First off, the system's what, going to be 400? And yeah. You need a Vita to like actually, use half the functions of the system. So you're looking at probably $650 for the console and one controller.
You need a Vita to basically play the role of the Wii U gamepad as like sort of a tablet controller, right?
Right. So yeah. I'm not really into better graphics for $650.
Would give me a reason to buy a Vita. If I bought a PS4, now I would have to buy a Vita. Now I've been looking for a reason to buy a Vita.
Well, there it
now
is.
Now I have one.
Now what were some of the other stuff on the controller that was revealed? Wasn't there like a that touchscreeny type thing on there?
Yeah, it's a customizable touchscreen, so you're going to be able to, like, I don't know, maybe macro for some games, or it's going to be different buttons for each game. That's neat. It's neat. I'm looking forward to that.
That could be cool. You know, you could be in a game and some kind of little companion avatar could show up there, or some kind of neat little display.
It's definitely not as cool as the Wii U controller, though. So I kind of think they're doing it, but they're not. It's just lacking the wow again.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of it yet until I see some demos of what it can do. In fact, I don't. Other than showing like, hey, there's like a touchscreen on the controller, did they show it applied at all? I don't think they did.
I don't think so.
I haven't seen anything, and that was one of the things I was looking for. I don't know, maybe I just suck on Google, but I wasn't able to really find anything.
No, I found nothing. I don't think they really highlighted it. I mean, they wanted to build up some excitement with this whole press event they did or whatever, but they didn't have a whole heck of a lot to show besides the controller, some footage, and a share button. Share button. Okay. What do you guys think of this? I was reading some of the, you know, other coverage of this event, and I might have missed this, but apparently, in addition to sharing your like game footage for like, you know, I'm a badass points with your friends, they are going to enable a feature that I experienced when I used the online game streaming service called OnLive, which is sort of an over-the-shoulder spectator mode, meaning if I'm playing a game on my PS4, I open up for you the ability to look over my shoulder. You can observe my gameplay and, you know, I don't know, possibly interact with me in some way. Like if I'm playing a game where I need a power-up, maybe you could drop me a power-up from your stash or something, you know? That might be kind of cool if somebody wanted to watch you play a game as opposed to play one themselves.
That's my problem with that, and with the Mario Wii U or whatever. I just want to play with you, not watch you play and affect your game. Like, what happened to, like, actually, you know, multiplayer? Like, real multiplayer.
Yeah, so this is interesting, Rick. In the Mario Wii U game, you can play multiplayer, where you're all sitting there with, like, Wiimotes playing together. But there's also, like, a Overwatch or God mode or something like that, where one guy's got the tablet, and while the other people are jumping around, he's basically, you know, tapping the screen and doing things to sort of help them along in the game. And I guess doing that remotely would be fun in some way. Yeah, it's like a different role for a multiplayer experience, you know what I mean? As opposed to just playing in parallel.
Broken thumbs or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to crap on it. It's hard for me to see the applications of that mode. I think maybe they're just trying to get an additional benefit out of the fact that they actually bought a game streaming company. That game streaming company is ostensibly the means by which they're going to deliver the old PlayStation 1, 2, and 3 games. Because there's no native hardware ability to play those games anymore, so there's no backward compatibility like there is on the PS3 or the PS2. Instead, you can play off the server, having streamed to your machine, older games. I will say that my experience with OnLive, this was going back a little while when it was a brand new service, so it may be better, was marginal sometimes, because if you don't have a rock solid internet connection, there's some noticeable lag. And I really don't want to be playing, like, streaming a first person shooter or something and have like a lag between my input and the actual response. So I'm not sure how faithful an experience that's going to deliver. And I don't, if that's their way, if it's like backwards compatibility over the wire, I really don't see that being a very compelling feature, unless internet connections improve drastically or they've got some awesome way to deliver a high fidelity experience.
Yeah.
I'd like to also point out the dangers in relying on that when a lot of companies are starting to like limit users and actually slow connections down on purpose if you've gone over, and it might be a very expensive prospect by the time the system's actually out and popular.
Good point. This does seem pretty bandwidth intensive, doesn't it? And you have to wonder if American data pipes are, speaking just of our country, of course, are wide enough to accommodate this machine. And if, like, your cable provider's not going to take a dim view of it, then take that dim view a step further by dimming your connection.
And or bank account.
Or dimming the balance in your bank account, right. Yeah, that could be costly. I mean, imagine how much that would suck to have your console experience throttled by your ISP. But if that's the direction console makers are going, and, like, let's just say that this is the way electronics are going, like, what's to keep, like, Apple or somebody from, you know, also releasing a box? Next thing you know, you've got all these, this new generation of set-top boxes coming out that are hungry for bandwidth. You know, something's going to have to give there. So if this is widely adopted, maybe we'll finally see people clamor for, like, you know, an improved internet infrastructure in our locale.
Yeah, instead of just everyone's always bitching about it for phones and stuff. I mean, it seems to have worked. So who knows, maybe it'll happen landlines as well.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like the first impressions, even for those of you who are early buyers usually, is kind of weak at this point.
At the moment, I would say that's true, only because as what the industry obnoxiously calls a core gamer, I haven't seen enough core gaming footage to get me excited. But I'm sure as we near the end of this year, when they're getting close to launch, we're going to see more and more game footage. I don't think they're so stupid as to leave me, you know, somebody like me completely out in the cold. They're gonna hopefully have some pretty hot gaming titles that'll draw me in.
Yeah, it kind of speaks volumes, though, for them to make this big ordeal, and then that's what they deliver. It really kind of shows who they're looking at right now.
Yeah, they're taking the gamer for granted. Oh, you're going to buy this thing. But also, here's why your Aunt Mildred should buy one.
Exactly.
Maybe you guys are more excited about some of the first-person shooters or something than I am, but...
No, I'm definitely not.
The most exciting game to me was Diablo 3, and I've already played that and gotten sick of it.
That'll be like a 3-year-old PC port by the time the system comes out, right?
Hey, if they want to fucking sell consoles...
Yeah. 2 years, whatever.
If they want to sell consoles, they should put WoW on that bitch, and then they'll sell some fucking consoles.
Yeah, but they'd be putting, like, Panda Express WoW, not, like...
That's really going to be the only next step. If you really want to get some people excited, just do that.
You know, if they're selling it as like a PC, I mean, they might as well just, have PC games on there. I know
people are going to be like, you can't play WoW with a controller, blah, blah. I was being an asshole.
Well,
so just to clear that up.
That's good. That was going to be my question to you, though. When you were picturing, like, today's teenager for whom this box is the gateway to the information world or whatever, is that hypothetical teenager going to have a keyboard and mouse hooked up to this thing too? I mean, is this a replacement for a PC as well?
I don't know, because I still think that the PC serves a very specific purpose, but it is pretty easy, man. Like, I don't know. I use my Xbox for fucking everything now, dude. Everything. So much so that, like, I'm looking, when I move, part of what's on my list of things I'm checking off are TV systems that are compatible with what Xbox can connect with in order for me to use that as my DVR and my TV and everything else. I mean, I'm in deep. I can't be in deep enough.
So you
and I'm an old man, dude. I'm an old man. So, I mean, if I was, you know, some creepy fucking teen and had nothing better to do with my life than to just fucking live vicariously through an electronics piece of equipment, that would be it. I mean, it's because you can do everything on it.
Yeah.
You can even watch porn on it. That was one of so many people that I talked to. I was like, dude, have you tried the IE on your Xbox? Yep, dude, we can watch porn. I'm like, I know, right? That's the first thing everybody tested. Just the simple fact that you can do anything and everything you kind of need to do while you're locked away in your room. There's a difference between browsing on your PC and browsing on your Xbox. There's no doubt about that. It's far superior on a PC. But in a pinch, you know, it's like if I don't feel like grabbing my tablet or turning on my laptop or walking in the other room, before I shut off my Xbox, I'll check Facebook on my Xbox. So, I mean, it's definitely there and usable and doable. So, I don't think there's a need. I mean, I got that chat pad for the bottom of my controller. Shit rocks.
You like a lot of these features of the existing Xbox 360, so if either Microsoft or Sony delivered a superior experience, that might be a selling point for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So between that and sculpting...
Hey, let me say this. If Sony comes out and says, I can hook Comcast cable into that bitch, I'm sold.
That's, I don't think, outside the realm of possibility, because if I'm not mistaken, hasn't the Xbox got some sort of tie-in with your cable provider?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I don't live in an area where I can get the cable tie-in that... I think there's two different ones that are capable with the Xbox, and I can't get either one where I live. So while I'm shopping to purchase a house or just move in general, that's on my list of stuff I'm looking for. Can I tie this in? Like, what cable system is here, and can it be compatible with my Xbox because I want full immersion?
Ah, okay. So you might be, and you can call yourself old all you want, you might be the hip set-top box customer that they're looking for.
I like it, dude. Like, I've actually, you know me, I love stealing shit on the internet because it's easy. Dude, I paid for some episodes for some stuff because it was convenient. I searched for it on Bing on my Xbox. It came up with the different providers that have it. I shopped around, saw that they were all the same price, and said, well, you know what? I'm going to support Xbox on this one because it's the same price. And I bought some episodes of some shows that I easily could have torrent grabbed, but it was easy. I was already sitting on my fat ass with a Dr. Pepper in my hand. It was just...
So there you go. They made You can beat free when you satisfy lazy.
Yes.
There it is.
Because I only had to wait 2 seconds. I didn't have to get up, search for it, find the one with the highest rating, set the torrent, and then hope it downloads in less than 2 hours. Like, I was able to watch right away, and it was worth the $4. I'll get done.
Nice. I'm glad that they've... I'm glad this turned positive. So we've got a potential customer in Rick now, a definite customer in me, and I can just hear Brian coming around on the PS4 as we speak.
We'll see. You know, I never picked up a 3.
Me neither. Uh-huh.
I mean, I loved the 1 and the 2.
Me too. They're still hooked up.
Yeah, if you get a PS,
still are.
They're both still
I had the PlayStation 2 like a week after it was out in Japan, if you remember that.
I do.
Still paying it off.
I have two PS1s. I have one that's, you know, just out there in my media setup in the living room. But then I also have the little miniature white one, and I have the flip top screen, and that's underneath the counter in my bathroom.
Nice.
For those late night post wing sessions of gaming.
Well, Brian, the good news is you won't need a PS3 because now with the PS4 you can... Oh wait, no, there's no backwards. Right. Well, you can stream all the PS3 games.
I can buy all the games I already bought again.
Stream. You don't have to buy them. No more media, man. Just coming right over the wire, right into your eyeballs.
I pay to stream them, even though I own them. I got a bad feeling about that. I think they're just gonna screw you.
They
haven't done it yet. I'm supposing here a little bit, but I think it's going to be lame that you can own the game, own the system and own the game, but have to pay again to play the game.
And what would be cool is if they let you take the game, load it to its hard drive, then it recognizes it, and then it plays it. Nah, never
streaming.
Mind. I'm talking
no,
shit. Yeah.
No, I was thinking a similar thing. If there was some way to recognize that you had the game already, and that gives you a key for a streaming
version,
that would be really awesome.
Well, actually, you didn't have... It actually, what I was saying probably isn't too far out of the realm. Maybe instead of like downloading it to the hard drive and all that, you just pop your disc in. So you pop your disc in and then it'll let you stream it.
Okay, so
like it
disc.
Uses the disc. It doesn't play it from the disc, but it'll recognize it.
Okay.
Here's hoping.
That would be a cool key, you know.
Although
that would
that
be
seems
really neat.
Incredibly complicated for backwards compatibility.
What, you pop in a disc and you're done?
No, I mean like from the other side of it. You know, you just pop in a disc and play the game. I mean, that worked too once upon a time.
Yeah. Well, but remember, that required either in software or hardware the ability to emulate the old...
Okay, but here's what I don't like. I don't like that I can play any... I'm not going to say any, but I can play the majority of my Atari 2600 games on a ColecoVision, but I can't play a PS3 game on a PS4. Come on!
I don't like that.
That's fucked up.
I think they just made a compromise here between, you know, going for ballsy new hardware and providing a, you know, and providing a bridge or providing a way to play your old stuff. If I, to be honest, I haven't played that many older games on my PS3, and I haven't played that many original Xbox games on my 360. It has happened, but I wouldn't say that any more than like 5% of my gaming time was spent doing that on those consoles. So
yeah. I'd play a lot more original Xbox games on my 360 if I could.
Oh, because there's a compatibility list, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I guess the backward compatibility is a nice to have.
It probably would have swayed me on a PlayStation 3 also. I'd probably have a 3 if I could have played my PlayStation games.
Actually, you can play all your PlayStation games, but the PlayStation 2 games are a little dicey.
Well, you have to get the special thing too, don't you?
No.
There's versions that have the backwards compatibility and...
You can play all PlayStation 1 on any version, but only certain versions allow for full PS2 backward compatibility.
Okay, so it's only PS2?
Yep. But the good news is, all versions of the PS4 will not have any backwards compatibility, so you needn't worry anymore.
So at least it's clear.
Yeah, it's clear. Nobody plays old games. Move on.
And I did read somewhere that it's going to be discs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, although...
Because they completely forgot about that at the fucking show.
Yeah, it was an after thing that I read.
Well, I've also read that they're going to go with like a dual channel, channel thing where you can either get it on disc or get it digitally.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's at a discount, I might be prompted to get it digitally. But if it's $60 for a disc or $60 for a download, guess which one I'm buying.
Exactly. I'm with you there.
Because I do not trust that I will have a license in perpetuity. I'm sure they'll find, oh, well, it's the PS5. Those old downloads don't work anymore. You'll have to rebuy them. No thanks. No thanks.
Yeah, that scares me too.
Looking at that already.
We might be looking at that already, Brian.
Yeah, with the streaming PlayStation 3 games.
I think the whole point here is to stream money out of my wallet, and at that, I think they're going to succeed. With you guys, it's kind of up in the air. It's kind of up in the air. But that's it. I think we've kind of beaten the poor PS4 horse.
Well, it's also hard. It's first impressions. It's first impressions.
They've got a lot to show still. So I'm hopeful. I'll probably wind up buying one. I just hope that some of the, you know, negative concerns are addressed.
So let's round up with a 1 to 10 scale, just overall of your impressions. 1 being not very favorable, 10 being I'm super excited about this and can't wait to have a PS4. You know, understanding that we only have a, you know, initial impressions. Why don't you go first, Rick?
I don't know. I'm never excited, so I'm going to say 2.
2? Okay.
Just because with what they've given me, I went from -5 to a 2. So I guess that's pretty good.
You went from -5 to a 2. That's a pretty drastic change.
Yeah, I went from fucking pure hatred to I at least have my eye open.
Okay.
And I'm looking.
It could happen. Okay. Yeah. How about you, Brian?
I'd probably go a 6.
Oh, nice.
Probably going to like it more than the Wii, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But, Not enthused just yet.
Yeah, I was going to say a 6 too, because I'm really tired of this generation of hardware. It's been like years. This has been like the longest lived console generation in history, and I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on, and I feel like with the Wii U, I've kind of taken the first tentative steps into the next generation, even though it's not a huge graphical powerhouse. And I'm ready for a new PlayStation. I'm ready for a new Xbox 360. I think it's just time. And I'm hoping that will... Not that I haven't been playing games or anything, but I'm hoping it'll bring a new level of excitement for gaming back. So yeah, I'll give it about a 6 on my excitement scale. Or on my first impression scale. And it benefits greatly from my anticipation of moving on. With that said, I guess we are ready to wrap this up. Any final impressions or thoughts, guys?
I'm so glad it's not called Orbis.
These code names. Orbis.
I'm looking forward to seeing what other kind of cool peripherals that may come out for it.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see where they're going to go with these motion controls. I won't necessarily buy them, but they might sell me on some gadgetry if it's cool. Suddenly the concept of sculpting on my PlayStation seems kind of interesting to me. I can't even sculpt in Play-Doh, but...
Neither can I.
Well, I think we've sculpted a fine episode, and with that, I think it's time for our... usual round of housekeeping, and I will go first. I will say that you should navigate on your desktop box of choice, more than likely your PC, over to the iTunes app. And once you're there, you should subscribe to the Nerdstravaganza podcast and give us a favorable rating and send us a lot of love, just karmically. You don't have to use the internet to do that. You don't need an internet connection or a set-top box. Just put the good vibes out there and spread the word about how awesome our show is.
Or you can head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, stream the show, rate the show, leave us a comment, or send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
Or if you want the entire Nerdstravaganza experience, join us on Facebook. Like our page. Join our group at www.facebook.com/group/nerdstravaganza. See pictures of my awesome carrying case. Become a celebrity like Aaron and be asked to join us on our show.
Wait, the episode's over. We can't talk anymore. In fact, there's only one last thing to say. Peace!
Yep, I agree.
Right.
Ugh. Yuck. Right.
Right. It's neat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you there. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll get done.
Just turn positive.